brothers and my sisters in Christ Jesus. I greet you in that name that is above every other name, at the name of Jesus Christ. Every knee bows, every tongue confesses. He indeed is Lord. Whether you like it or not, whether you know it or not, He is who He is. Truth is what it is. Truth is not a relative term. Truth is not whatever you would like it to be. Truth is what it is. And I know that's sometimes a hard thing for people to come to grips with in a relative society in a lot of places, where people's opinions have become so darn important to them that it just means so much to me what I think about myself and all of what these things I think in my own mind and my thoughts. No, all of that actually is inconsequential. What matters is, are you aligned with truth or not? And if you're not, then you are like a branch that has been broken off and is withering and is dying and is just wilting away. But if you're engrafted into truth, Christ Jesus is truth, as in John 15. I'm going to link a couple things. John 15, He is the vine, we are the branches. If a man remains in Him and His words in them, or if a man remains in Him and His words in you, then you will bear much fruit. You are connected to the source. Life flows through you. And Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. So He is truth. So you got to be engrafted into truth. And if you're not, you are like a branch that is broken off, withering away and dying. That's why somebody like Hillary Clinton just looks so old and haggard and tired and just wilting away, because she's just been a lie her entire, as far as back as she can remember, she's been a lie. So many people that have been a lie, you can just watch them withering and dying right in front of you. Because they're just broken off. Sure, you can slap some makeup on that thing. You can dress it up. You can give it some cameras, some lightings, some hair extensions, and a little bit of highlights. But it's still dying and withering and just falling apart right in front of your eyes. Just like meat that's rotting. Oh, yeah. You know, because the thing is, if you are not engrafted into the vine, which is has all life flowing from that, because the life is in the Spirit. So if you've got no Spirit flowing through you, then you've got nothing. And the way that the Satanists have done it in the past is that they've tried to find those that have light and truth in them, and they've tried to find anything with life in it, and they've tried to, because they're cut off, they've tried to fill up their gas tanks, their limited beings, with just little chunks of life from here and from there. And just like a crack addict that needs a bit more every time to get the same high, they need more depravity and more just the worst kind of stuff that you can think of. They gotta go progress forward in their addictions. Just like somebody starts off with soft porn and they work their way up to hardcore stuff until it comes to the point that they're looking at the most debased things imaginable just to get turned on. Because they've just gone down that path. So just like that, the Satanists, they go down that path and they need more and more and more just to get a little bit of something. Until they just finally wither up and die and then be recycled into hell. Oh yes, hell is very real. Listen, if you do not go through that gate, which is Christ Jesus, if you reject the offer of truth, if you reject who Christ Jesus is, on His own words, mind you, no one comes to the Father but by me. What are you going to do with those words? Huh? Listen, people all over the world have tried to accept Jesus as this great teacher or this prophet or this wise being that came to the earth. Well, what did He say while He was here? Can we talk about that, please? Can we talk about the words in red? Can we talk about what was spoken? Can we not try to make them palatable? Can we avoid the rewrites? Oh yeah, there's a huge push right now for people to try to create these palatable versions of the scriptures to make them societally acceptable. Listen, study. And also realize that that's something there. Look, I love the old King James. Because in that, God just, He will speak to you out of the Word. If you've got a heart for truth, He'll speak to you. And if you don't have a heart for truth, you're not going to find anything. You're not going to find anything. You're just going to go on and on and on into your deception over and over and over again. Deceiving others and being deceived. Blind guides going nowhere but in circles. Everybody talking about their own opinion. Ever learning but never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. Yes. There's going to be all of that and more. Now, my brothers and my sisters, you don't want that. Of course you don't. Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice. They will not follow another." So you know the voice of Jesus. Yes, 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 you do. You know the voice, but you know what? Sometimes you also doubt because you know the voice of Him, but these other people, they've got all this flash. They've got degrees on the wall and the accolades of man, and they've got people patting them on the back, and they've got hundreds and thousands of people in their congregation, all with their big black Bibles and their nice suits, and they're all shaking them, and they're just amen. And you wonder, how can I be hearing this voice of God and know there's something not right? And yet all of this over here it says something else. Maybe the issue's with me. No, the issue's not with you. Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice." The issue is you have to have confidence in that voice when He speaks to you. You have to be willing to go out into the wilderness if that's where He takes you. And He will take you there, by the way. Every single follower of Christ that I know of, either in the scriptures or in this life, every one of them, God has taken them into the wilderness, into the desert, and burned the king out of them, burned the prince out of them, burned the princess out of them, burned them down to where that place where it is, "Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done," where you lay your life, your expectations, your desires, your will at His feet, and you can pray, "Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done." That is part of the process of being led by the Spirit. And you know what? You can spend your entire life in the wilderness if necessary. You may never come out of there. You may die in the wilderness. Oh, you don't like the sound of that one, do you? Yeah, no, there's been plenty that have died in the wilderness because they didn't move forward with the revelation of what God showed them. And they missed the opportune time of God. The children of Israel, when they were crossing over into the promised land, what was there for them? It was right there in front of them. But they did not move forward in the revelation and the truth of what God was showing. And God said, "All right, it's not for you. It's going to go to the next generation." And they tried to then go do it in their own self-will, and they got beaten back viciously. They ended up walking around in the wilderness for 40 years until they all died off. You know, this is something that I've been seeing this from different sides, hearing it in the Word, brothers and sisters. We've been talking about this. We've been sharing it. Listen, all right, important principle. God is not wrapped up in our timelines. Okay, the way the world works in time. So the world, you know, you're born, you got to do this, you got to do this, it's this certain age, this certain point. Everything is about a timeline and expectations and all the rest of that. And you're supposed to do this by this point, this by this point, and then, you know, you're supposed to have start your retirement fund by this stage. And you see what I'm saying? You go to college, you get married, you do this, you do this, you do this, and then you die on time too. God is not about the world's timelines because God is eternal. We serve an eternal God. That is, God is outside of time. What God is doing in time is bringing revelation and truth into our existence and into our time here while we're in the earth. And the degree to which you align yourself with what God is doing in time is the degree to which you move forward with what He's doing. And so you may escalate, you may go fast, or you may go slow. So, for example, Moses didn't get started until he was 80. Abraham didn't move out from that father's house until he was 86. You know, you got Joseph in the dungeon. He started when he was 30. You've got Daniel at 16. David at 16, moving into the purposes of God. Now, why is that? Well, part of it is that God is more concerned with you aligning with the truth and the revelation, you aligning with His will, you aligning with that. If you want to move quickly in the things of God, then you need to align up with that. And that's part of when we pray and ask God for wisdom. God says, we ask God for wisdom. Wisdom, knowledge, and revelation. Right? Okay, when you ask, so if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously without finding fault. When you ask God for wisdom, when you ask God for knowledge, when you ask God for understanding, when you ask God for revelation, He gives. And that quickening inside of you is going to be changing things. But you align yourself with that. Again, aligning yourself with truth, where life is and life flows. And as you align yourself with that, you move forward in the things of God. And if necessary, you can stay in the wilderness as long as you want to. I've heard two great teachings recently from two different brothers in Christ, one in New Mexico, one over in Africa, and I'm hearing these things as well as what God has been resonating in my own spirit. And one thing, my buddy in New Mexico, Jeff, that he recently talked, well, it was probably an older one, an older podcast, but listening to it the other day. And one thing he was talking about is that scripture that says, "My people perish for lack of knowledge." And you know, that knowledge, that lack of knowledge, that he had done a study on that. And part of what was said there was people perish for, it's a willful blindness. And that's what I see too. Absolutely. It is a willful blindness. Will you be willfully blind? Or will you move forward in the things of God? Let me give you a couple examples for right now. You can see very real-time examples of this. So right now in the U.S., and I don't know where things will be at in the future, but right now with one thing that's going on, say for example that issue of what's happening with Planned Parenthood in this country, which Planned Parenthood, if you don't know overseas and you guys that listen around the world, Planned Parenthood is a it is an organization that receives federal funding that has been found to be selling baby parts in abortions to other groups that use it for all kinds of different things. They claim that some of it's for medical research, but there's not a full comprehensive list of what it's used for, how it's used, or anything like that. But they have been selling baby parts in this investigation that has been done and revealed. And now there's criminal investigations being launched against them in 12 different states in the United States. And all kinds of other stuff is coming unraveled as this stuff has been coming out into the light in the midst of these guys engaging in basically what is essentially organ trafficking. Now, in that situation, what has been interesting to see is people that have been supporters of that organization that basically just said, whatever this group does, they're going to support them. And how they have been so willfully blinded in that decision and in going that way, that they are literally partaking in that activity of that organization, in supporting what that is, unto their own destruction, their own hurt. Unable to even see things for what they are. See evil for what it is. My gosh, when I look at that and I see where people have come to, it's a grievous thing. Willful blindness, willful deception. Now that's a very pointed and a very extreme example, but we do this in other areas in our lives all the time. Because oftentimes it's because there's something that we want, there's a desire that we've held on to, there's something that in and of ourselves that we think will be that thing that will grant us happiness or fulfillment, and it won't. But that desire, that thing that you hold on to, and it will become a stumbling block for you. It will become an idol for you. It will become something that keeps you from seeing the truth, and you will not move forward in the things of God because you hold on to that willfully. Sometimes they can look and appear like good things. This is where it gets a little tricky, because, and you will not hear this in the church system. You will not hear this on a Sunday. But you need to know this, because otherwise you are going to die in the wilderness. And you were not destined to die in the wilderness. God did not intend for anyone to die in the wilderness. You were supposed to go to school and graduate. You know, I remember when I was doing college, and there was a few guys in there that just were lifelong students. They had been there, they were working on their second doctorate, and you know, they just didn't know anything else but school. No, you're supposed to go to college and graduate. You drop out if you need to, but you're just not supposed to live there. You're supposed to transition through there, on into life, on into the next thing. You're not supposed to die in the wilderness. But you will not leave the wilderness. If you are truly one of God's, you will not leave the wilderness until you get this. If necessary, you can die in there, but that's of your choosing. That's of your own self-will. That's of your own decision, your own choice, because you refuse to love the truth. So you get given over to a lie and to a strong delusion. You don't need to, but you choose it. Sometimes we hold on to things that, because, for whatever reason, you know, maybe it's family background or training or education or just our own inbuilt fears in and of ourselves. Do we truly trust God? Jesus, that last audio, you guys got to listen to it. The one that says, really, really trust God. You got to do that. Because if you don't, you're not going to move forward. Think about all of those men that lined up for battle against the Philistines when Goliath came out, and all of the things that went on. In the scriptures, it talks about how they would come out, they would have the war cry, they would go into alignment, they'd make a huge show. But when the time come that Goliath came out and the test was there, they all went running from that thing. No, because they saw things in the natural. They saw things in the realm of what they could see, touch, feel, experience, and all of their natural experiences, and they did not believe that God would take care of them if they went into that fight. No. So they ran into that. And that byproduct was, to their own hurt, was they were always bystanders. So now, where are we? Do you want to be a bystander in this? You came into this life for a reason. You're here in this world for a reason. God brought you here for a reason. For whatever reason, your consciousness is here right now. So the fact that it's here, do you not want to get on with the things of God? Or do you want to repeat this reality 100,000 times? I don't want to. I want to transition out and through. I do not want to do this again. But I do want to complete the purposes for which God brought me into this life. I'm here. You're here. So shall we not now carry on in the things of God? See, this is again between you and Him. This is between you and the Father. Will you bow your knee truly before the King of Kings and allow Him to lead and guide your life? Or is God just an add-on? See, a lot of people are looking for all kinds of things in this life that they just want to tack on to their own understanding. So when people go after a job, they go after something they think that's going to make them happy, and that's, they, you know, they just, okay, here, I'm just going to add this in. When they go for a relationship, yep, it's with selfish purpose, selfish motive, selfish intent. Just going to add this in. And when they approach God, they approach Him the same way, and you're not going to move anywhere with that. The first place you're going to be led is into the wilderness, and if you don't transition out of that, you're going to die in that wilderness. Or you're going to run back to Egypt. How many times did those children of Israel, when they're in the wilderness, how many times did they say, boy, we wish we were back in Egypt? And see, unless you transition through in what God is speaking, unless you transition through with the revelation, the true rhema that comes from God right now, unless you transition through with that, your two choices are the wilderness or Egypt. But you're not going into any promised land. You're not moving forward in the things of God. So most, because they do not like the discomfort of the wilderness and what that means and what that does and the results of it, they want to go back into the world. So they go back voluntarily into their slavery. And some mull around in the wilderness, but they still die in their own expectations. You know, and I get it. I understand. You know, I get it. I like how that happens. Because the thing is, too, sometimes we go through some rough spots, and it will shake your faith. Listen, John the Baptist, right? John the Baptist, when he was the one that baptized Jesus in the River Jordan, saw heaven open, he saw the Spirit of God come down like a dove, he heard the voice of God that said, and the Spirit of, and rest upon Jesus, he heard the voice of God saying, this is my Son, you know, whom I love, listen to Him, right? All of that whole experience there, John was there and witnessed it and experienced it. But he also had his own expectation of what it was that he thought God should do. How it is that this Messiah should come and what it is that he thought this Messiah should do and be. And when John ended up in prison, and he saw things going on, but not like what he thought. John, this is John the Baptist now, sends his disciples to Jesus to ask, were you the one we were really waiting for, or should we be looking for someone else? I think about that. This is John. Were you the one that we were waiting for, or should we be looking for someone else? John, he had the experience. And yet, when the realities of life continued to grind him down, he had his questions. Now, did Jesus slap him? Did Jesus throw it back in his face? No. Because Jesus also understood his frame, and the thing that the place of victory for John was he went to God with those questions. He didn't throw in the towel. He went to God with those questions. Lord God, here I am, and I'm struggling with this. What did Jesus say? He said to his disciples, he said, go back, tell John what you see and what you hear. You know, the blind see, the deaf hear, the dead are raised. That people are hearing the good news. People are hearing the gospel. Go back and tell them what you are seeing and hearing. In one sense, here's the thing. When Jesus came into this world and he set up his kingdom, it was not like anybody had thought before, including the princes of the power of the air and all the demonic kingdom in the second heavens. They didn't know. Because scriptures even says that if they knew, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. If they knew, they would not have crucified Jesus. Because by crucifying Jesus, they sealed their own fate. By crucifying Jesus, it transitioned and it opened up the gate completely for everybody to come out of the world system if they wanted to. Nothing could hold them because the debt was paid. And they didn't know and they didn't get it. And Jesus kept that mystery of God under wraps until death was swallowed up in victory. Can I get an amen? Until death was swallowed up in victory, then the plan of God was revealed. And God led captivity captive. God went forward and showed, and Jesus rose in victory. Jesus did not rise from the dead quietly over here, just kind of over in the corner. No, it was when that stone was rolled away, when the earthquake, when all the 16 centurions shook and were like dead men, and the angel sat on that rock. I mean, my gosh. And Jesus hung around for 40 days after his resurrection, met with different people here, there, all over the place, appeared in different meetings, small groups, before 500 people. Gatherings, different places. Upper room. And then he made it all known, laid it all out, and then ascended. So Jesus wasn't in a rush. He took his time. Made it abundantly clear. And that's why when you see the followers of Christ going forward, they move forward with such fervor, such power, such... And then this Holy Spirit came upon them at Pentecost. My gosh. When that Spirit of the living God and the Spirit of truth quickens you, just like right now it's flowing through me, something changes. The dynamics change. So now, will you, in and of yourself, move forward in what God is doing? Or do you want to choose to be willfully blind and to stay in that wilderness? Or, worse yet, are you going to go back to Egypt and be a slave? See, there's free will involved. But the quickest way forward is to bow your knee before the King of Kings. Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done. Ask God for wisdom, for revelation, for truth, for understanding, and quicken your being to align with that truth to move forward. So when I shared that last message with you guys about really, really trusting God, that's something God was speaking to me. Because, yes, I trust God, but there was that place, just somewhere in there, where there's that thing in the back, that little tiny, you know, doubt that's there, that just kind of creeps in. What is it that chokes off the plant and makes it unfruitful? It is the worries, it is the riches, it is the pleasures of this world that choke it and make it unfruitful. So that is part of what... That you've got to be mindful of that. And when God shows you and He quickens you, then you double down on truth. You double down on that which is real. You double down in prayer. You go, you press in. And this is why you see with the children of God, they were extreme, the ones that transitioned out and transitioned through this world. They were extreme with their faith. They were extreme with their commitment. They went all in. You know, if you think that you can do this halfway, you are sadly mistaken. If you believed the lie that has been given by the institutional religions of this world that you can just do this half-baked, you cannot. You can't. You cannot. It won't work. Because God will take you as you are. He will receive you because He loves you. But the Spirit is going to lead you into the wilderness and it is going to reveal and burn out. You are going to be tempted by the enemy in that place right away. And it is going to see what are you going to be willing to take to be bought off. You want to turn these stones into bread? You want big glory and fame? What do you want? I'll give you all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor if you bow down and worship me. What do you want? Because the devil's waiting for you in the wilderness too. You know what? I remember this back in my college days. There was a group of guys that I mean, we love God. And we would start getting together and just start praying and reading the Word together, just having a Bible study together. We love God. But I remember when this would happen so often, it would actually get comical for me. I remember, like, there was these guys that would have all these other issues and then there would be a girl that they're interested in, that girl wouldn't give them the time of day, anything like that. And then all of a sudden, like, this revelation of who God was and who they were with Him, and they would begin to move in that direction. And they would all of a sudden, you know, they would want to go with God with their whole heart. And the moment that they did that, all of a sudden now, that girl that wasn't interested in them is now interested in them. All of a sudden now, different things would just start popping up. And because for some of us, we had walked in this thing for a bit, and we had seen the pattern, and it was just like, oh, wow, here it is. This is it again. Why? For a few reasons. One, there's life flowing through you for the first time because you are ingrafted into the vine, Christ Jesus. And anything that has life is attractive. Because especially in a world of death and darkness, life and light and truth are very attractive. So for the first time, somebody is noticeable. And now, but also too, in a spiritual realm, what happens is the devil quickens everything that's connected to him and says, look, this one's on the way out of that gate. Bring them back. Hoard them back in. Get them back in the sheep pen. Get them back in the gate. Get them back in before they go out, because they don't want to lose those that they've had before, those that they've enslaved before. So what is it going to take? What do you want? You want that perfect girl or guy? For those women out there that are listening, you want that perfect guy? You want that perfect career? In your own mind, by the way. Because everything in the world has sorrow with it. Everything in the world has corruption with it. Everything in the world has death connected with it. But they won't show you that on the surface. No. On the surface, everything's a good time. All fun and games, no consequences whatsoever. Until they've got you in there. And then they tell you what you signed up for. And you better play ball. Now, see, here's the thing. If you are going to go with God, you're going to have to go all in. And with the distractions and the temptations and the rest of it, whatever that may be, you put that before God and you say, Lord God, you quicken me, you lead me, you guide me. I'm going to let you direct the decisions of this life. I'm going to let you direct what it is that I'm engaged in. I'm going to let you direct my activities. What did Jesus say? He said, I only do what I see the Father doing. So Jesus, His activities while He was here in this life and in this world were only the things that He saw the Father doing. That was it. So you engage in the things that you see the Father doing, not what you think in and of yourself. A lot of people will do all kinds of things, thinking they're doing God a service. No. Listen, unless God is leading and guiding that, it is a waste. Listen, unless God is in this audio, it is a waste. Can we all agree on that? I certainly do. Unless God is quickening me to turn this recorder on in the first place, it is a waste. I don't want to hear the sound of my own voice. Nor do I want to put something out there in and of myself. For what? I don't want that on me. No. My desire, my hope, my prayer is, Lord God, I just want you. And if this is part of it, then so let it be. And God has been true to His word and true to His promise to me, which was every time that I would stand up to speak for Him, that He would always speak through me. And that has always happened. From the day that we started throughout, every time that God has had me to stand up and speak, the Spirit of God has always flowed through that. And every one of you guys that have listened in here over the years, you can testify to that. Now, does that mean that this is going to keep going like this forever? No. God shuts down voices all the time, whenever He wants to. He'll put a voice out there for a window and for a season. And, you know, while it's there, listen, you know, receive what's there and thank God for it. You know, interestingly enough, a lot of people listen and take advantage, but it's funny the things that people will pray for or support or help. And listen, we've not asked, you know, I think, okay, there was one time, and that was probably a weakness in myself, just because I'd been around, and I thought, okay, maybe. And so just to a few friends, we said, okay, maybe we should try to do something consistently. And we put out a request to a few friends, and we found out more people that were in need, resource-wise. So we ended up, in that case, we ended up sending people more than what we received. It's because there was needs. So we were like, okay, that's good. And we were glad we were able to help. And we were glad that God gave us something in our hands to be able to do that. But, yeah, you know, good object lesson for us as well is that we've always had what we've needed. But listen, you know, and that's been part of our own learning as well, is just like, okay, how do we do this, Lord God? Because we've gone out forward, and there's been occasionally those moments where you're just like, all right, you know what? Because it's not like God is you know, in the middle of this, that He doesn't allow you to wrestle with some of the ambiguity. And in those ambiguous times, will you do something out of your own self will? Or will you just proceed forward in at least the things that you know? Listen, go with what you know. This is a good object lesson. Go with what you know. Go with what God has showed you. When David was standing before Saul and he was going to go out and fight Goliath, and Saul tried to give him his armor and his sword and all the rest of that weaponry, and David was like, you know, I can't go with these. I've not proved them. I'm not used to this. Here's what I know. I know my staff. I know my sling. I know what I can do with these. He went with what he knew. Time would come in the future where he would be able to function and use a sword and armor and the rest of it better than most. But at that stage, he had to go with what he knew, because he was going into the battle. So sometimes you just got to go forward with what you know, and you don't need to get fancy with it. You just need to go forward with what you know and how God has taken you through and how God's delivered you time and again. And you need to prove these things as well. Proving, testing, understanding. The principles of God are true. Listen, when you've seen God deliver you through war and riots and attacks of all kinds, and I can get into so many things that God has walked me right through the middle of, time and again. Yeah, just 1,000 falling at my side, 10,000 at my right hand. It has not come near me. So after a while, you start to realize, okay, I get it. I understand. See, that's why so many of these things that worry people right now, I sleep so well. Why? Because I know the God that I've served. And I know that He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above and beyond past anything I can imagine or even think. He's done it before, and He continues to go from glory to glory and strength to strength with me. I understand it. I have no reason in and of myself to doubt Him at this point. Now, the enemy will try to sow those seeds in there, but you got to nip that in the bud right away. Because there's something bigger going on, and you don't want to keep relearning the same lessons. And you are destined to go through the same thing again and again until you learn it and move forward in it. So don't keep learning the same lesson over and over and over again. It's time to graduate. You know, there's a lot in the Faith Mix archives that I know a lot of you guys have not caught or listened to. And I don't know how much longer God's going to have this up or out there. I don't know. I really don't. I mean, this literally is a moment-to-moment thing. And I thank God for the guys, and I thank God for the team that allows for this to come up and to be here. And to be a support and a blessing to you guys. But I do encourage you guys to search some of the older stuff. Download what you can while you have the opportunity. It should be there. And whatever's of use and of help to you, just do that. Because, because I really don't know. I don't know that part. And, you know, God can quickly just turn something off, or, you know, for whatever reason, something can just go away. So I know as human beings in ourselves, we want consistency and we want things that we can just kind of go along with in patterns, but that's not how things work. So I just encourage you guys, while you have the opportunity, to access what's there and, you know, go from there. But don't be among those that are continually hearing and never able to transition and never able to come to that knowledge of truth. You got to go before God for yourself. And you got to be at His feet and say, Lord, I need to move through. I need to move forward. You see, you know, you understand what's going on inside of me. You know where I'm at, Lord, and I want to move forward with you. I do not want to die in Egypt, and I do not want to die in the wilderness, Lord. So whatever is necessary, Father, for me to move and transition into who you would have me to be and the reason that you brought me into this life and whatever revelation, truth, knowledge, understanding, wisdom that I need, Lord God, please give it to me and let that be what resonates in and through my entire being so I can move forward with what you're doing at such a time as this. Lord, your kingdom come, your will be done. You got to move forward in that, and you got to pray in that. Because brothers and sisters, we were called. We were called. And you responded to that call, but you got to move through now. Don't worry about what's going on around you. The kingdom is within. As that is resolved within you, it will manifest out and through you and will overflow into that which is around you. And then you will be able to affect, according to God's kingdom, that which is necessary. I want to pray with you guys really quick. Father, I pray, Lord, for my brothers and sisters listening in this day. I pray that you would encourage them in this word. I pray, Father, that you would strengthen each and every heart. I pray, Lord God, we pray together right now in Jesus' name, Lord, that your blessing would flow on each and every one of our lives. Father, let it flow, Lord God, from your Spirit. Lord, quicken each and every one of us, Father, mentally, spiritually, Lord, in resource-based, Father, for each and every person that's struggling. I pray, Lord God, in Jesus' name, that you would quicken them, Lord, and bless the work of their hands, bless their resources, Father. Bless them, Lord God, and all that they put their hands to. Lord, let them see a good return for their efforts and for their work in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray, Father, that you would quicken them with knowledge and wisdom and understanding, Lord, to be that which you made them to be. Lord, let them not settle for anything less than your truth, Father, the true gospel, the true word, true revelation, Father. Strengthen them, Lord, in their bodies, in their minds, in their health. Give them good health, Lord, and good strength, Lord. Strengthen your people, Lord God, to rise up in this time. In Jesus' name we pray and we bless one another. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hey, love you guys. God bless you. Drop us an email, faithmix@gmail.com. Say hi. We love you. We'll talk to you soon. Bye.